This is the Jason and Alexis Show podcast, presented by our delightful friends at the Freehouse.
Look for new menu items like their better-for-you comfort foods, including the tuna poke bowl and spaghettini primavera, plus seasonal favorites like the new maple grain salad, beef stroganoff, and carrot cake.
Lex and Dawn, I have a great idea. After the show, I'm going to take you to the Freehouse for breakfast. And Lex? Oh,
yes, Jace?
Guess what they have.
Something delicious as usual. Is there something new?
No, it's something old. Something barred and something blue. No, it's something old, but it's one of their classics. The breakfast burrito, Lex. It's a burrito.
Wow.
Yes, I'm in.
It's the size of Dawn's left arm.
Wow, that's a big burrito.
Yummy.
Are we marrying the Freehouse?
We are. We're marrying the Freehouse. And we're also going to hold our reception there because they also have new items as well for the season. So they have the tuna poke bowl. Love that.
Yum.
They have a fabulous beef stroganoff. They have a maple grain salad. So, you know, if we're being healthy, ladies, we can get that.
That's what I'll have.
I knew you were going to say that. Well, then while you're eating that, Lex and I can have their carrot cake.
I love carrot cake. Let's do it.
I know you do. So carrot cake, we'll get the maple grain salad for Dawn, and then we'll get a side breakfast burrito for Alexis to take home. Sound good?
Delicious.
I knew you would like this idea. And you will too, my talkers. Head to the Freehouse. You can order online and make reservations at freehousempls.com.
I got some new information.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert update. A quick look at what's happening in entertainment.
Real juicy.
On My Talk.
Tell me something good.
NASA is doing a moonwalk on its plans to return to the lunar surface by 2024. A moonwalk back. What? It's a joke.
What?
They're walking back their plans. A moonwalk. While the Artemis program has been aiming for a 2024 landing, NASA now says they'd be hard-pressed to meet that deadline. Imagine having deadlines for going into space. Instead, the lunar landing might happen closer to 2028. And reasons for the delay, of course, coronavirus pandemic and other things.
Funding.
Yeah. So they plan to eventually establish a permanent moon base as a first step towards eventually traveling to Mars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you do it?
Yeah. Today.
Yeah.
If they said, hey, do you want to go to Mars today and never come back? Yeah. If my daughter could go with me, yeah.
I kind of thought that about you, Dawn.
I know. I'm weird. Okay. Cardi B, Jennifer Lopez, Dolly Parton, Dua Lipa, and Chloe X. They are going to be honored at Billboard's 2020 Women in Music event next month. You know, for some reason, and this isn't in the story, it's just my own thoughts. The award shows, there seems to be a lot more. Maybe I just ignored them in the past, but now that it's the pandemic and they can't be the same, I'm like, another award show?
Yeah, it feels a little 1986.
It does. I don't know. Like, they're just constantly giving each other awards.
Oh, they just love each other.
Let's do that on the show.
I know. Okay, a man in Arizona credits Alex Trebek for saving his life. He watched Alex talk about some of the early warning signs of pancreatic cancer, and he decided to go to the doctor, and they caught his early, and he has a good prognosis.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
So, yes. That's the latest dirt. You can find more on our app and mytalk1071.com.
Thanks for letting everyone know.
Dirt Alert updates at the top of every hour. Plus, get extended Dirt Alerts at 8:20, 12:20, and 5:20.
Maybe come back in an hour.
And now, Jason and Alexis in the morning with producer Dawn on My Talk. Everything entertainment.
Somebody. Just
sometimes you gotta lose somebody. Yeah. Sometimes it
never
happens.
Do that. Never do that again.
Never sing to you, Kenny, about your loss, your longing, your emptiness.
There's a lot of emptiness, but there's no loss and longing.
What about for Oak Island, your favorite
show?
Burned
it out.
This is your chance to talk about the three episodes and how it's going so far, because they've been looking.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Kurt on this? Does he watch this?
No, and it's not above him. He's so busy with Forged in Fire still.
Oh, God, don't get me started on that one. I can't even turn that one on. I hate it so much. And I'm a blacksmith.
Okay, that's probably why you hate it. I'd like you to be on it.
No, God, no, 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 no. This Curse of Oak Island, of course, it's about buried treasure. And it's on this little island in Nova Scotia, right off the coast. And evidently something was buried there sometime between 1200 and, 1750. And they've been looking for this treasure, and literally $1 billion have been spent over the last couple of years looking for this treasure. And the latest is these two brothers from Upper Michigan, the Lagina brothers.
Okay.
They're miners and diggers, et cetera, et cetera. They've got a nice bankroll, and they're in bed with the History Channel. And I don't know, we're in season 8, so they've been up there now for eight years. Yeah, 8 years digging. And I love the concept because they were turned on to this the same way I was. There was an article in Reader's Digest that I read as a kid, and they read the same article, and they've been obsessed with it ever since. And they had a bankroll, so they bought property on the island, got permission, blah, 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 blah. And every year they throw a few more millions at it and don't find more than a spoon or a coin or a cross. And the clues lead them to believe it's anything from, old Spanish gold, old world stuff from the 1600s to loot, pirate loot, and this, that, and the other. And it's fun and fascinating, and there's so many possibilities. But what drives me crazy is the way the show is put together.
The production
of the show. They've got an announcer, a voiceover guy, who's really good.
Okay.
And he does a lot of voiceover work for the History Channel and other shows. But he doesn't make any statements. Everything he says to us is in the form of a question.
No!
Yes!
Give us an example.
So last night they think they found they did actually find a spoon. But they think they've located a pine tar pit. And pine tar pits were used to turn pine trees into tar so they could seal up ships and seal up this.
Okay.
So the announcer guy is, a pine tar pit to seal up ships that were worked on the island? Or a pine tar pit to seal up tunnels underneath? And everything is a question, and it drives me crazy, and I'm screaming and yelling at the TV, and it's, oh my God, it's just the worst. And all they would have to do is just change the writing and let the guy just read statements, and I would love the show. Despite the two brothers and the one brother with the eyebrows. The one brother with the eyebrows, Rick.
Rick!
I looked him up.
Did you see his eyebrows?
Yeah, he's
combing them up.
He is. He's grooming the eyebrows to create a villainous appearance.
What is that, Steph?
Sickness.
Psychosis. It is.
I haven't been able to get an up-close picture. I've been searching, and it's like... Yeah.
Or it's just like that became his signature move.
No, that cannot be your move.
Ever for that, anybody. Don't do it.
Ever.
It's long just eyebrows. Gross. It's gross.
That's a mistake. Like in my case, when mine get long, it's because I can't see anything with my glasses off. So it's really hard to trim my eyebrows.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
I have to put a comb up there and get a scissors or an electric razor. And then I expect loved ones and people around me, my friends, if you guys see me, if there's a weird thing going on with my eyebrows, I need you guys to tell me so I can get that under control, because that's embarrassing.
Good to know. Good to know that I'm in the trust tree and I can tell you when it's time to groom.
Oh, it's like walking around with your zipper open and your ding-a-ling out. It's awful. You can't do that.
It's not exactly the same.
You can't.
One you can go to jail for, the other one you're just socially isolated.
Do you ever have there was this woman that I knew and we were friendly at work, but not like best friends kind of people. And we went somewhere and I looked over and she had seriously like 5 long, thick, coarse, curly chin hairs.
Well, you got to tell her.
And she was so put together. And so I just assumed that she had seen them and that was part of her thing.
Part of her look.
Maybe because you couldn't have not seen them.
Oh, really?
I mean, I felt like they were.
Anything?
No. I wanted to, but I didn't.
Oh,
I was embarrassed
surprised.
For her.
I told my daughter her one responsibility in life is when I'm an old lady to make sure I don't have weird hairs coming out of my face or neck.
Yes. We used to have that conversation with our mom.
And you know, even in the car, like, I will tell her, oh, you've got, she will grow sometimes, she would hate it if she knew I was talking about this, but she'll grow a little fine, wispy blonde hair, like, strangely out of her neck somewhere, and I'm like, oh, let's pluck that. And, you know, and we're at stoplights plucking, you know.
Yes.
But you gotta get rid of that stuff. It's not good.
The plucking in the car is real, too, because
the
it's the best
sunlight.
Light.
It's true.
All of a sudden, you look at the... And this is pandemic too.
I
where
have tweezers
all of a sudden,
in my little side.
You get in a car and you haven't been in a car for a week, and you look in the mirror and you're like, "Whoa, who is that person? That isn't what I thought I looked like. I have aged in 8 months."
Yeah.
The mirror in the girls' bathroom in radio, is it as sharp and focused and well lit as it is in the guys' bathroom?
Yes, it is.
Because I will look in the mirror. I'll look in the mirror at home here and go, hey, I look like Fonzie. Yeah. I'm great.
Yeah.
And I get into work and I look in the mirror and I've got hair coming out of the bridge of my nose and hair coming out of my ears and everything's just awful.
Yeah.
That's what I need at home, that kind of awful lighting so I can see this. You guys, I have to run a razor down my nose from my eyebrows down to the tip because hair comes out of my nose. And I don't mean the nostrils. I mean my nose. God, I hate this.
It's just men poor start Kenny. Growing. Poor MC's like, I gotta get, like, he's obsessed with every little hair that's growing out of his ear. And
I
it was really great. I'm like, look how satisfying this is. And I wax part of his ear. He would die if he knew I was talking about this.
Well, that's but great, though.
But, like, he's very self-conscious about it. And, like, Kenny, you need to get some wax. And that's fun. You need to just wax all that off, and it gets it from the root, so you don't have to shave it every couple days.
Oh, I've got to do that. So in the case of Rick Lagina, you've seen him now, Steph.
Back to Oak Island.
Yeah.
Do you think he's putting product on his eyebrows in order to comb those? Oh,
yeah.
That's
like
a sickness.
Wax. Like you would that's have a on sickness. A mustache he needs, wax.
No, you need therapy for that. That is not right. That is.
You're like, doesn't look good.
You are breaking societal codes there. Mm-hmm. That is not
societal
right.
Societal norms are meant to be broken. Yeah. That's
Steph,
a
I couldn't
statement.
Watch it. Steph, for a while there last night, I had to actually put my hand up over the TV so I couldn't see him when the camera went to him.
But yet you're
because
still
so
watching it.
Oh, yeah. I've got to watch it. Yeah.
You got to write into the show. Get on their Twitter.
I've been tempted to, but
and
I don't want to.
Just say, seriously, Rick, the eyebrows.
You know what? Speaking of Twitter, somebody created a Twitter account and started following me this week called Rick Lagina's Eyebrows.
Are you serious? Because you talk about it on the podcast?
No, I never talk about it on the podcast. I think it's a My Talker. Seriously.
That's really funny.
Yes.
I love it.
Here it is. Yeah, Rick Lagina's eyebrows. She's following six people and she has one, or I don't know if it's a she.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's probably Phil.
It is probably Phil. It is.
We gotta go, guys.
We do. Okay, when we come back, though, we've got great show content. We're not going to talk about hair the whole show, I promise.
Yeah, and we also have a name we're going to announce for our Live for Free contest at 7:20.
Assistant Tiffany's was my jam in the 90s.
Oh, Lenny doesn't like it.
Oh, God.
He was commenting on it.
See,
just
Kenny.
Play Harry Chapin instead. Come on. We don't need this pretender.
I like Harry
break.
Chapin, too.
Okay, I got to stop this fight now and do this.
I hate this year.
All right, it's time to announce a Live for Free name. It's been a tough year. We want you to live for free for the rest of 2020. Caitlin Wilkie from Coon Rapids. Is this hour's name? Caitlin Wilkie. Call us back 651-641-1071 in the next 10 minutes. And if you do, you're going to win $100. And then you are going to be entered to win the grand prize at $10,000. Once again, Caitlin Wilkie, 651-641-1071. All right.
That was so exciting.
Yeah.
I feel like I could maybe know Caitlin because I know a Colleen. And they're probably sisters.
Oh, sure.
Up in Coon Rapids.
Sure.
That's the area where my sister lives up
okay.
there. Yeah, where they saw the deer mating.
Oh, right. The sexy time.
The sexy time doing it.
A lot of hot deer action in Coon Rapids.
There sure is.
Canning apricots.
I don't think we, let's just skip the passing notes until the next break and talk about something else because it is a little long. It's an oldie but a goodie from Steph Hansen from March.
Okay.
Before the pandemic, as my friend Meg. So that's coming up at 7:30.
All right. I love it. Super fun. Yeah. Okay. So we were talking a little bit about errant hairs and we're going to stop with that. But, you know, I would like to.
Due to public outcry.
Yes. We did get a text or a tweet that was like, really? I don't even know what to do with this.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
I do That's need okay. to have a little more TV time, though, because I actually have watched some TV.
Okay. What are you watching?
That I'd like to discuss.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, The Lobster likes good rom-coms. That's sort of one of his endearing qualities. And we had watched, oh my gosh, I know. He made me watch Borat.
Oh the new my one. God. It was, what'd
you
think?
So bad.
Bad?
So bad that after 20 minutes, I felt like, wow, I don't think I can get this time back in my life.
Oh my gosh,
but I
feel
can
the
stop
opposite.
Right now. And I Stephanie. Liked the first two.
Oh, really? And you didn't like this one?
I felt like it was so played out. Like, the jokes aren't even funny anymore.
Whoa.
He's an amazing actor. I'll give you that. I just, honestly, after 20 minutes, I was like, I got it. My brain is leaking out of my ear. I've got to get away from this torture.
Oh, no.
So, Kurt, watch the rest of it. Kenny?
I couldn't make it through the first Borat, and I am so surprised to hear you say this. I won't even go near, I can't even watch the trailer for this movie.
Because of the secondhand embarrassment that it causes?
Because I just think it's dumb and insulting, and all he does is insult all cultures and all people, and I just can't stand it.
Yeah.
I recognize that this actor is really good.
Absolutely.
I do recognize, he's a... I almost swore he's a really good actor, but I don't like the concept and I don't like where it goes. And I don't like that he mocks virtually everybody.
Yep.
And it's just innocent people going about their lives, not trying to cause anybody any harm. And we're just going to rip them and mock them and make them look like, you know, boobs.
And it's got to be fake, right? Because there's got to be a camera crew there that's recording all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all like, you think it's real, but it's not real. This is me like trying to suss through, like, how could this stupidity even be happening? But so Kurt watched that. So I got a gimme the next night. Cause I was like, dude, you watched Borat and ruined a whole night of TV watching for me because I couldn't watch it. So tonight, and I picked a rom-com thing cause I thought he would like it. And he did. Emily in Paris.
Emily in Paris.
Stars Lily Collins, Phil Collins' daughter. It's a Darren Star production. So if you liked Sex in the City and you like fantastic clothes and beautiful scenery and fun, campy, not very difficult to interpret relationships, this is for you. They're half hour episodes too, which I loved because like the first night, I think we watched four episodes. But then I felt like I was totally into it and I could have watched a half hour if I wanted to. The next day you could space it out. But Emily in Paris, it is so cute and charming and it's hot guys, hot girls and fantastic outfits set in Paris. What's
oh,
not
gosh,
to love?
Gosh, yeah. And yeah, I didn't know.
It was great.
I didn't know Lily Collins is Phil Collins' daughter.
She is. Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. Little tip for you.
Okay.
Just the outfits alone were fantastic. She wears tons of sassy hats. It's like Sex in the City meets Paris.
Okay.
Meets.
I'm on the Wikipedia page here. Emily in Paris follows Emily, a driven 20-something American from Chicago who moves to Paris for an unexpected job opportunity. She is tasked with bringing an American point of view to a venerable French marketing firm. Of course, cultures clash. She adjusts to the challenges of life in Paris while juggling her career, new friendships, and love life.
Yeah. Hmm. She has a few lovers, which is also very Parisian.
Ooh.
My husband said, well, she's sure getting around. I was like, she's in Paris. Everybody's in love in Paris.
Yeah. And she's cute. And
making the rounds,
sassy,
as we
that's
say.
That's right.
She can have that time in her life. And if you did it in Coon Rapids when you were 25, good for you. She's doing it in Paris.
That's right.
Right.
And it was real cute. So that's a high on my list. Okay. The second one actually might appeal to you, Kenny. And I have to try to describe this so I don't sound like a creep. Okay, I like historical fictiony things.
Sure.
And Lori Barghini recommended this to me. And I think she said, it's got a hot guy and there's a lot of sex in it. So I was like, okay, all right. The show is called Last Kingdom.
Okay.
And it is from the BBC. So it's very popular overseas, and it stars this guy who was also, he also starred in American Horror Story Coven. Okay. Damon is his name.
Okay.
He's super hot, so there's that. But he plays Uhtred of Bebbanbow, who is a Viking, a Danish Viking.
Okay.
Who helps defend the Saxon armies. So it's the storytelling of the Saxons and the English.
I love this.
1860.
No, it's 900.
Eight and 900.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's partly.
This looks great.
It's fantastic. It is Viking like. Just Vikings, the Danes. So there's that whole like man side of it.
Okay.
Drink and blood from your skull.
Yes, exactly. But then Uhtred is this like just hot, sensitive, just guy that has a love interest.
Is
yeah,
his name. Okay.
He's so hot. He has a love interest every season. And basically he is the hired warrior of this Saxon army that they are religious folks and the Danes are the heathens who don't believe in religion. So you get the history. What's interesting about this whole thing is four seasons. I loved it. It's been renewed for a fifth season. But now, too, they're starting to find all this treasure that the Vikings buried on this path from the Saxon army. The Vikings would plunder. That's where this came from.
Mm-hmm.
Rape, pillage, and plunder.
Sure.
And then they would bury their treasure because they thought that in Valhalla, they would be reunited with it. So they're literally still today along the English countryside is all of this Viking treasure that's buried. So they're now starting to find, I just read an article in the New Yorker about some of this treasure that's being found.
Wow.
Right.
Cool.
There was a big case here just a few years ago where a farmer out in his field had, he's a zillionaire now.
Yep. So they talk about Mercia. That farmer found like two really influential coins that changed the trajectory of this historical event that they thought had happened.
Oh.
Huh. So it's just great. It's
on Netflix? Where is it?
It is on Netflix. Okay. Yep. It's called Last Kingdom. Highly recommend it.
I'm going to have to sign up for Netflix again.
Or you can just text me and I'll give you my password. There's that too.
That's nice.
Even better. I like his name, Steph. Uhtred the Bold.
Yes.
I wish I had a name. How about Kenny the Dumb? I like that.
I'd just call you Kenny the Crab. I like crab because you're not dumb. You're just crabby.
Yeah.
You're just crabby and you own your crabbiness.
Yeah. And I own the Krabby Coffee Shop. So, yeah.
So there you go. Krabby Coffee, Krabby Coffee Shop. Uhtred of Bebbanbow. So
this looks great.
It's great. So now you can watch it. Okay, we're gonna wrap up, but that's my recommendation of TV, and we'll be back with passing notes. All right. Talking about favorite shows that we've been watching recently. I'm not a huge TV watcher. Like I usually kind of get going on a series and then I'll watch it. And you know, I don't sit and watch TV every night. But I am watching more TV during the pandemic because, I mean, let's just face facts.
What
there's not
a
lot to do. I
right.
know. I tried to do like a lot of the virtual music stuff, but it's been challenging to find good stuff. So
for sure.
Passing notes is good, though.
It is. This is one that Rocco put together featuring you as one of my best friends.
Megan.
My best friends were Sarah and Megan. So here is Passing Notes featuring Stephanie Hansen.
Are you passing a note?
She passes me notes in class all the time.
Do you want to pass me a note and have me circle yes or no?
This is Passing Notes on Jason and Alexis. Old high school notes that producer Dawn found, read aloud by the My Talk players.
It was sweet. We held hands and passed notes.
And you are to read that letter in front of my class.
Read it out loud.
As we like to do on Passing Notes, here's a quick flashback of Megan, played by Stephanie Hansen, so you can remember just who Megan is.
Oh, I feel a seizure coming on. Whoa, dude, I gotta take my medication. See ya. I'm a good artist. Yeah, boys. Do you think Ebrick
Kirby
likes me, or who do you think he likes? Yelik?
Kelly.
No. Please, no. But he probably does because she's a T-Lus, you know.
T-Lus is slut, spelled backwards.
Well, bust a gut and chill a frill and moose a goose. Yeah, I know I'm cool. He's so sweet. And besides, he has a really great body.
Then in parentheses,
ass. Dawn plus Jason, TLA.
And then on the other side of that, it says,
staring at his wiener.
All right, and with today's note, here is Megan.
Dawn, okie dokie, stud, you are so funny.
She really is. In fact, let's take a few minutes here to remember just how funny our friend Dawn is.
True or false? Male octopuses grow an extra arm in a pouch under their eye, which is actually a penis.
Some male might say he's c-eyed.
That's excellent, Dawn. That's excellent. Good job.
If you're holding an infected koala, you could actually, if you're exposed to its urine, you could catch it. Mm. It leads to blindness, infertility, and also an infection known as dirty tail.
It's a club I used to dance in. Dirty tail. Coming up on stage three, it's Dawn at the Dirty Tail.
And now back to the note.
Oh boy. You are so funny. Why ask me? I know you think I'm God with a cool green cast.
You might remember Megan had some sort of issue with her hand.
Dawn, excuse my writing due to the break of my fifth metacarpal on my right hand. Smiley face. Yeah, I hope Coach Gary asks me out sometime. Yeah, I want you to do me, Mark. Yeah, up the...
Something we can't say on the radio? Whoa.
Baby, sure. Whoa. Okay. Whoa. Seizure time.
Some random scribbling.
Damn, that was fun. Hey, guess who this is? This is an awesome stick figure. Can't you tell?
There's a drawing of a stick figure, and I'm actually not near the note right now. I'm working from home, and the note is back at Passing Notes HQ. But I think the head kind of looks like a...
salad bowl. I'm sorry I didn't call last night, but I got in a huge fight with my mom. How about I call you tonight? Michelob night? Yeah. Bush light? Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah.
You know, can we take another time out here for a second? I mean, we got like 3 months to kill here, right? Just hearing someone say Michelob night really takes me back. One, because Michelob was probably the first beer I ever snuck from my dad's fridge back around the time these notes were being passed. This wasn't Michelob Golden Draft or Michelob Ultra like they still make today. This was a fancy beer. It came in a dark brown teardrop-shaped bottle that kind of looked like a lava lamp with a gold foil wrapper. Really class things up. Oh, Michelob. Oh, 80s. Anyway, the other thing that late 80s Michelob reminds me of is the TV commercials for Michelob Light, where people would compete in sports with an unabandoned vigor because a round of Michelob Lights was on the line, all set to the music of this sweet-ass singer.
Michelob Light for the winners.
Oh, what the heck. Let's do one of those patented Jason Matheson 80s classic commercial flashbacks here for Michelob Light. Let's see. There was the tennis one.
Thinking about throwing in the towel? No, think about making it Michelob Light for the winners.
Your serve.
Would good friends really play this hard for a beer? Well, it is Michelob Light, the rich, smooth taste you can compare to any beer you like.
Michelob Light for the winner.
Boy, I need help with my serve.
Tom will help you.
First, you remove the cap.
Michelob Light.
The timpani and cymbals for each of those tennis hits was really chef's kiss material. There was the touch football one.
Hey, make a love life for the winning team, okay? You guys would do that for us?
But a bunch of guys really go at it this hard just for a beer? Well, consider it's Michelob Light, and that means a rich, smooth taste you can compare to any beer you like.
You guys never played like that before.
Hey, we never played for a Michelob Light before.
Michelob Light. Compare the taste.
Now, this isn't really my thing, but if a bunch of beefy, mustachioed guys in short shorts running around throwing each other to the grass does anything for you, I highly recommend you Google Michelob Light for the Winners football commercial sometime, Jace. Can I do a couple more? There was the racquetball one. More guys in short shorts rolling around.
Come on, one more.
No.
The championship of the entire civilized world.
I'll pass.
And a Michelob Light.
I'll serve.
There was the waspy man and woman riding horses at the manor one, complete with covered bridges and horse jumping obstacles.
Last one back by the Michelob Light, okay?
You heard her. Come on.
Your horse never ran like that before.
He knows my favorite beer when he hears it.
There was a soccer one, a hockey one.
Those guys could have beaten the Russians today. You think they'd play us for a Michelob Light?
There were two guys downhill skiing.
Racing to the bottom?
Not all the way.
For Michelob Light?
You're on.
Where'd you ever learn to ski like that anyway?
Houston.
Don't really get it. And let's close out with one more mustachioed short shorts dudes grappling each other one. It's a rugby match.
Okay, I'm changing the strategy. I just made it Michelob Light for the winners.
For the winner!
Would a bunch of guys really play this hard for a beer?
Phrasing! Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Rocco, Michelob flashback over.
Oh, wow.
I just want to say thanks to the Michelob Light singing guy for his lifelong inspiration to my karaoke career, as evidenced by last time we had a Megan note on the show. Oh, and then, in case Dawn didn't have it...
Meg's number, 863-9862.
Megan, I got your number.
Yeah.
I need to make you mine. Megan, don't change. 3, 9, 8, 6, 2.
You hear his inspiration, right? Okay, I've gone off the rails far too long. Let's wrap up this note from Megan.
Well, I'll have a little discussion with you and Sarah about LF at lunch.
Not sure who LF is, Dawn?
Otay?
Otay, of course, is an Eddie Murphy SNL reference.
Buckwheat cheese.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye, buddy. Love you largely. Meg.
Wow.
That was pretty epic.
That was.
My fantastic. Gosh.
I mean, the only thing I can say to that is...
That was a lot to take in just now.
Steve Kornacki. Yeah.
A lot to take in.
Oh, boy.
This is what happens when Rocco has home time.
That's right. Exactly right.
Oh, my God, that octopus line of yours, Dawn. Jeez.
Wow.
Wow. That was a, what a punchline.
One time I was funny on this show.
Oh, yeah. You got funny. You've gotten funnier as the time has gone on. Your first year, you were kind of scared, I think.
Oh, boy. Well, it's hard to know how to fit in to a group that's been together for so long. I also didn't want to be one of those people that just forced my way into conversations, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't know that. Just kidding.
I don't understand.
Never
what you
been
just
there
said.
Before. I don't know what you're talking about. Forcing my way into someone's conversation or life.
At some point, though, Dawn, you just stopped caring, and that's when the gems started.
For
coming
sure,
out.
It's true. Yeah. Amy just kept telling me, "You need to, you know, be full 100%." I'm like, "All right."
Well, and it was probably because you didn't live here either, so
yeah,
you know, everything's new, and just it's the hours too. You know, this isn't for sissies, this early morning time.
Yeah, I did a morning show for 15 years before that, but we started at 6.
It surprisingly makes a huge difference between 5:30 and 6.
Right, and plus having to get here extra early because I'm the producer. So it is. It's a lifestyle change for sure.
But fun. Yeah. And is your MC a morning guy?
Yeah, I would say. On the weekends, he gets up like at 7:30.
Yeah.
And I sleep in. So, yeah.
Do you sleep in on the weekends?
Yeah, for sure. I sometimes sleep till 9. Well, a couple weeks ago, I slept until 10.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, I can't really do that. But okay, so we have more things when we come back.
Yeah, sure.
More good show, you know. Yeah. It'll be here when we come back. Another great flashback.
Yes.
Was this, I don't remember who did this.
Ooh.
Was it Train? No.
Sounds like Beck.
It does sound like Beck, but I don't think it is.
It's not.
It starts with a W.
It's Weezer.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, Weezer. Sure.
Weezer. Weezer for the geezers.
Oh, boy.
All right. Do you guys have big weekend plans? Have you figured out what you're doing for the Thanksgiving feast?
I'm having a Thanksgiving feast with my mom and my roommate on Sunday. Three people.
Oh, that's
cool. Nice.
Yeah,
will the governor arrest us for that?
Oh.
And you know what we're going to do, Steph? You know what we're going to do?
Yeah.
What?
Turkey meatloaf.
Love turkey meatloaf.
I've never had it. I hope it's good.
Are you making it?
I hope my mom is.
I hope my mommy is.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Turkey meatloaf's quite good.
Good. Yeah.
You just have to have a lot of things that make it juicy because turkey can be a little dry.
Okay.
Yeah. But sure, she's got it handled, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I love that. Dawn, what are you doing this weekend?
I have a baking class.
I keep forgetting that you're doing this. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I'm making an opera cake. I've been looking forward to this one.
I don't even know what that is. Let me look.
It kind of is like tiramisu. I have a link there in the grid.
Yep.
Several layers of sponge cake, and then in between, there's a coffee buttercream.
Yum.
That we're layering, and then dark chocolate ganache in there as well.
Yum.
And then you have some chocolate on top, some dark chocolate on top. So it looks very similar to a tiramisu. However, I don't know from the picture I see. It's a beautiful photo of this. I will actually tweet this out so everybody can see what this looks like. Unfortunately, the class has sold out for this one, but there's so many others on Bake with a Legend that you can join in on. It's hard to know how big this is. I know that I have to have, it was advised if I had 3 8-inch square pans, that would be ideal.
Yep.
But if you don't, which I read the instructions wrong, and I actually ordered 8x8 with a 3-inch depth pan, not 3 pans. So I'm just now reverting back to my 9x13-inch pans and then, you know, cutting them up appropriately. But it's hard to tell how big this cake is or how tall it is once you slice it.
Yeah, I think usually there aren't they like 2 inches high? I don't know.
Yeah, it looks pretty small.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah,
okay.
This is with Ian Cumming. He was a finalist on, I believe, let's see, season 6? Yeah, series 6. He's delightful.
Season 6 of?
Of The Great British Bake Off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All of these classes are with, it's called Bake with the Legend is the company, and they will hire these bakers to do these classes. Most of the time, the way that I found this is I was planning a trip to England, and I wanted to visit maybe where they film, you know, the tent, because I know they film it outside of a large estate or a castle. So I wanted to do that. And then I found this company that does classes. And so I had planned a class there in person because they do that as well. But then the pandemic happened. So this has been great. I've never baked in my life. And I, you know, have 5 classes before the end of the year, and I'm learning so many things. It's just, you know, a hobby that I've developed now that I really love.
I watched the season with Ian. He's good.
He really is.
There's some news coming out of Minneapolis that you will appreciate.
Ooh.
And I will tell you when we come back about baking.
Very cool. It's a beautiful day. I can't stop myself from smiling because it's a beautiful day.
You're gone away. It's a beautiful day.